This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Everything seemed dahu dores over the weekend. Shoppers were shopping, retailers were hopping. On Friday alone, they sold $10 billion worth of flubers and garginkers and trumtukers. That's 7% more than last year. But the Grinch was out there somewhere lurking.
I must stop Christmas from coming. But how?
Well, one way might be to cut jobs. We heard this morning that Citigroup is planning up to 20,000 job cuts, maybe 40,000 people within the next few months. Or the Grinch could make the housing market worse. Citigroup downgraded the outlook for several major home builders. Investors are trying to stay cheerful this morning. So far, the Dow is up a few points to 13,011. The NASDAQ has gained 9. The S&P 500 has added a couple points. European shares had early gains, but stocks have turned down. Japan's Nikkei finished almost 2% higher this morning. The troubled British mortgage lender Northern Rock has been looking for a knight in shining armor, and it might have found one in Richard Branson. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The British government says it favours the Virgin Consortium's bid for Northern Rock, and what the government says matters. It's poured $50 billion worth of public money into the Rock since the summer. The Rock crumbled after world credit markets dried up, triggering the first bank run in Britain for a century. Branson and his partners are promising to pay off almost half the $50 billion now, and the rest over 3 years. Analyst David Buick says the government's hoping for a swift end to this damaging crisis.
This has been a catastrophic embarrassment. It's been grossly badly handled. It's been allowed to fester for far too long.
But the crisis isn't over yet. Northern Rock shareholders must approve the Branson takeover. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
European officials are in China this week, and already the big deals are rolling in. Today, plane maker Airbus and the French nuclear company Areva signed huge orders worth a combined $26 billion. Does this mean American companies are missing out on something here? We asked Elisa Roth to check it out.
China is expected to be the world's second largest market for airplanes within the next two decades, which is why the ongoing Boeing-Airbus competition is especially fierce in the Middle Kingdom. Last summer, Airbus decided to start producing the A320 there, anticipating a growing market for the planes. And today, the company says it's selling more than 150 jets to China. Consultant Doug McVitie is with Aaron Aerospace. He says today's news doesn't mean Airbus is pulling ahead of its American competition.
To be honest, I think Boeing will be quite pleased about this in many ways because it means the domestic Chinese airlines still haven't ordered new wide bodies, the 787 or 350, nor has the A380 got into China. There's honestly no need for the U.S. to worry as far as I'm concerned.
It's been turbulent for Airbus lately. Among other problems, its much-anticipated jumbo jet has been slow to get off the ground, costing the company billions of dollars. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Monday, November 26th on Marketplace.org. Wall Street is busy trying to assess the most recent quarterly profit reports. Bob Moon looks at the winners and losers.
Some of the corporate report cards were downright awful, but Wall Street's been focused on the head of the class. So while it's true JCPenney did poorly, analyst Art Hogan at Jefferies & Company is paying more attention to Walmart's better-than-expected third-quarter results. He gives the retail giant passing grades not only because of its size, but he says it's not as reliant on discretionary consumer spending. And while residential real estate and mortgage companies predictably took a beating, tech stocks did well. Hogan expects more of the same.
As we wind down a year, you tend to have portfolio managers that chase performance. The losers get sold more, and the momentum there continues, and the winners get bought more aggressively and continue to ride. So that tends to widen that gap between the winners and the losers, and the laggards fall further behind, and the winners gain momentum.
All in all, Hogan argues, the latest quarter wasn't awful.
We've had a host of bad news. Some of it still lingers, especially on the financial side. But I think the broader economy may well be able to orchestrate a soft landing and have a strengthening pattern next year.
For now, it seems, Wall Street investors tend to agree. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The problems in the mortgage market have really done a number on morale in the industry. The Labor Department says about 100,000 jobs have been lost. So how can managers pump up their workforce now? Well, they can hire business cheerleaders. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
When employees are bombarded with messages about how lousy business is, it's time for the company to recruit an optimist.
The one thing that's gotten myself and a lot of my friends who are in this business through is believing in yourself and hope for a better tomorrow.
That's Frank Candy, president of the American Speakers Bureau. He says business with the mortgage industry is up about 20%.
What the mortgage industry is asking for is speakers with relevant content, like how do I deal with this change and how do I do more with less?
Candy may deliver the pep talk himself, or he may send a motivational speaker like Chuck Carman.
If you go back and look through history, I mean, in some of the lean times, even back during the Depression, there were more millionaires made then than there were in the good times.
Carman makes between $5,000 for a keynote and up to $25,000 for a two-day intensive workshop. In the past, he's done presentations for Countrywide and others in the industry. If addressing a mortgage company today, Carman would press managers to deal with the morale issue. Get it out in the open.
I love negativity. It's an honest feeling. It's honest emotion. Let's face it, confront it. I want to get that real emotion out in the open. I want people to talk about it, and then I want to address it.
Even if they'd like a cheerleader, some companies can't afford it. Frank Candy with the American Speakers Bureau says companies want to hire motivational speakers, but on the cheap.
They're calling us and saying, we'd like to bring in a good speaker, but we don't have the budget that we used to have. And so they're asking for more and hoping to pay less.
The ones who shell out are hoping some of Chuck Carman's optimism will rub off. Look at the bright side, Carman says. You can still get a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage for 6.5%.
I remember back in the early 80s when I bought a house at 17% interest. So, I mean, it's all relative in how you look at it.
Carman says there's life after subprime for mortgage brokers. If nothing else, they can earn commissions off speculators buying homes in foreclosure. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
There's a new investment option out there you might not have heard about. It's called an exchange-traded note. Large banks like Barclays are offering them. They're essentially a mutual fund IOU. So the bank says, at a later date, we will pay you the value of a certain set of stocks. But these exchange-traded notes seem to come with an unexpected tax advantage that mutual funds don't have. In fact, the mutual fund business is pretty upset about it. Mr. Sloan, what's got him so upset?
Well, it goes like this. Let's say if you own in a taxable account a mutual fund that owns stocks, the dividends that those stocks pay are taxable to you every year. The company pays the mutual fund distributes the dividends to you, and it's taxable as a dividend. However, with these notes, instead of paying you a dividend every year, these notes roll the dividend into the notes, so you don't actually get a distribution, And because you're not getting a distribution, there's no tax due until you sell the thing, and then it's all taxed at the capital gains rate.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like not a bad deal for the investor.
Right. Well, it would be a great deal for the investor, and I'm an investor, Scott. I mean, it's not like...
So what's the problem? Well,
the problem is I have this childlike idea that someone has to pay taxes to support the United States. I know it's childish. I know it's immature and probably makes me some sort of zealot. And now to Barclays' credit, they insist, and I believe them, that they designed these exchange-traded notes to be a product so that a retail customer could buy stuff that normally only big people buy. And the tax advantage turned out to be secondary. But now that they think there is one, of course, they're promoting it. But that's not what they had in mind. So this would be great for Barclays if it works. It would be great, you know, to own the stuff in a taxable account and not pay any tax on my dividends. But I think it would be terrible social policy.
Well, are any regulators going to do anything about this?
That's the zillion-dollar question. And I guess we're going to have a test case one of these days. But so far, there's been no official comment out of the Treasury or the Internal Revenue Service. And because it's not a mutual fund, there are no taxes due on whatever the assets earn until somebody gives you a check, which they right now don't plan to do.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
You're welcome, Scott. Happy taxes.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.